Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read together in Hosea chapter 4. And we will read at verse 6. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The knowledge of God is necessary. We need to read the word of God in order to be saved. And to see our sin, we need the law of God, and we need to learn about Christ so that we might believe in him. We need the right knowledge in order to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And that is what the scriptures teach, what man is to believe concerning God and what is the duty that God requireth of man. And without this knowledge of God showing us what to believe and what our duty is, we will suffer great loss. And without Christ, we will perish in our sins. The Lord Jesus said, "Except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." And when the scriptures are not read, when the scriptures are ignored, and when they are trampled underfoot by the masses, people bring trouble upon themselves. They bring God's displeasure upon them. Society is ruined. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Friends, the people of this land have gone astray. They have drifted from the path of knowledge, supporting a law that permits the unlawful taking away the life of our neighbor. The light of nature has been ignored. The light of Scripture has been rejected. And what is the result? A child can tell you. God's displeasure has increased. The people that have once adhered to the truth are in danger of bringing destruction upon them. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, we will consider first, with the Lord's help, the people, my people, and secondly, the knowledge, lack of knowledge, knowledge that was embraced but now rejected. And thirdly, the destruction. My people are destroyed. My people are ruined. My people are cut off for lack of knowledge. The people, the knowledge, the destruction. Well, may the Lord give us a saving acquaintance with the truth so that we would learn saving knowledge, the truth as it is in Jesus. Pray for spiritual knowledge. How necessary it is to know the law and the gospel, to know Christ, the Savior. We are to flee to him. Go to Jesus. Look to him. He is the friend of sinners. Even Jesus, as the apostle says, who delivers us from the wrath to come. First, we begin considering the people. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then the text goes on to say, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. He speaks as their God. He speaks to them as his people. These are God's professing people. They are a people who were called by his name. They were guilty, therefore, of rejecting the knowledge of God. They had the knowledge, but they rejected it. Hosea is a prophet preaching and prophesying to the 10 tribes, the northern tribes of Israel. King Jeroboam, before he was king, was a servant of Solomon, but he led the northern tribes away from the kingdom of David and established, or he was made king over the northern tribes. Being cunning and swayed by politics, he instituted the calf worship. He set up the golden calves, idols to worship. That was in Dan and Bethel, in the north and in the south of the northern tribes. He was claiming to worship Jehovah, claiming to worship the true God with these idols. So he was breaking the second commandment, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. You shall not worship the true God in a false way." That is what they were doing, instituting their own method of worship, appointing a new priesthood. Anyone that wanted to be a priest, go through a certain rite or ceremony, and you can be a priest. And why did he do this? For political reasons, to keep the people from going south to Jerusalem to worship. "You don't have to go to Jerusalem," he would tell them. "You can stay in Israel and worship God here." He instituted a way of worship that prevented the people from going to worship God in the true way where he had appointed it. So the people were God's people going astray. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." They stood in relation to God as his own people. God led them out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. God delivered them from slavery. And God led them through the wilderness. God gave them the ceremonial law, the truth. God instituted sacrificial worship to teach them their need of salvation and the way of salvation. God gave them all these privileges, but they turned against him. God brought them into the land of Canaan, but they worshiped idols. They rejected God. They rejected the truth. They rejected the knowledge of God. And so have our leaders today. So have a majority of voters in this land. They have chosen to reject God's law, "Thou shalt not kill." But the sin is worse. Worse in this land than other lands. It's worse than in the days before the Europeans arrived on this soil, because society has the truth. This is a nation that has a Christian heritage. Those who came here from overseas were Christians and evangelized the Moris. They built churches. There were good ministers occupying the pulpits, preaching the truth. Parliament opened prayer, opened parliament with prayer in the name of Jesus. God's laws were obeyed, and good laws were in place. The Sabbath was kept. These people in this land historically were God's people. But my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The people have rejected God by rejecting God's law. And what they have said is, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." We don't know how people's minds were operating, every single one of them, when they cast their vote. We don't know what motives they had, what level of knowledge they had, but God deals with nations as such, and a great majority have shown that they did not care about God's law. God's law, thou shalt not kill. The people have rejected their God, and it began by dispensing with knowledge. And how do we react or respond to the knowledge of God? What is our response to the truth as we read it every day? What is our reaction to people breaking God's law and blatantly refusing God's law? What is our response to the knowledge of God? Well, in the second place, let us consider the knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. This knowledge is knowledge that God gave them. The people of Israel, God's people, received the truth from God himself. The Ten Commandments were written on tablets of stone with the finger of God. This law was given to the people at Mount Sinai, along with the revelation of the ceremonies and prophecies and promises and sacrifices, all to instruct them in the way of salvation. So this people who have the knowledge of God, it is said of them, they're lacking knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, but didn't they know? Well, it would seem this is a paradox. How can this be? Well, the word lack involves the idea of wearing out. As a person is wearing old clothes and the clothes are wearing out, holes are getting in the garments, and it's time for to buy new clothes. Well, the knowledge was wearing out, and the people were becoming weary of the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God became old in their view. It was all old-fashioned. Old people followed these ways, or people long ago followed these ways. The people were tired of this knowledge. They didn't like it. It didn't fit in with their agenda. And so the fact remains, they rejected the knowledge of God. Though they had the knowledge of God, they had the knowledge of his will, they knew what God required, but they turned from it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because of the rejection of knowledge. He says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. In verse 1, the prophet declares to them their sin. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Why does the Lord have a controversy with the land? Why does he have something against them? Why does he have something against them so that he finds fault with them? It's for this reason. Because there is no truth. Is there no truth there? Is there no knowledge? Did they not grow up hearing the Ten Commandments read to them? Look what he says. There is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. There's a forsaking of a practical knowledge, the practice of knowledge, following God's law. They have failed to follow the word of God, and they have rejected the truth in a practical way. And he lists their sins. They were guilty of all kinds of sins, verse 2, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. They break out, and blood toucheth blood. They were breaking out, that is, bursting through every restraint. And blood toucheth blood. One act of bloodshed followed another. There was no interval in between. One person was killed, immediately another person is killed. Blood touches blood, murder after murder. And so it is in our day. One little infant is killed after another. And when one law is passed to sanction or legalize and even liberalize abortion, now another law is put into place to legalize euthanasia, what they call mercy killing or assisted suicide. It's murder. Blood toucheth blood, and they are breaking through. The leaders and the followers are bursting through every restraint through the knowledge of God's law, their own consciences, the light of nature. They wouldn't even kill a cat, but they're going to kill their grandmother. They're going to take away the life of their little infant. Blood toucheth blood. Euthanasia has seen the support of a majority of New Zealand voters. Breaking through the restraints of a pandemic, a virus that is sweeping over the world, killing thousands, they will acknowledge hundreds of thousands. And they're going to follow the whim of society or the politics of the day and permit the killing of the terminally ill, taking the place of God, rejecting the knowledge of the truth, following the leaders as the people follow the priests, like priest, like people, and following the ignorant priests, the priests that were from among the common people, without the training of the priesthood, without the godly examples of their superiors. And not every priest in Judah would follow the good example of an Eli, for example. But here are people from amongst the common class. Anyone can be a priest without the knowledge of God or without the training in the knowledge of God. They had rejected knowledge, and therefore God is rejecting them. Thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. The priests were to be teachers, but here are teachers who are ignorant of the truth. They are forgetting it, at least in a practical way, not teaching it as they should and not practicing it as they ought. They should be ready to give an explanation of the word of God. The priest's lips should teach knowledge. It should flow from their mouths. They should be ready with an answer. But instead, you have bishops, you have clerics in the Church of England that get distressed when someone makes an argument from the word of God. Where is the truth? Why is there such a lack of knowledge today? Why are young people ignorant of the Ten Commandments? Is it not because ministers have failed to preach the whole counsel of God? They prophesy smooth things to the people, and therefore the people don't need a Savior. And if they don't need a Savior, they don't need a church. If there is no hell to escape, and there's nothing but peace and joy for all mankind and no consequences for rejecting the truth, well, why do I need to embrace the truth? I could just live my life the way I please and nothing will happen. So I don't need a Savior, and I don't need to go hear a Savior. I don't need to go to church. Well, many churches don't have a Savior to preach anyway. A powerless Savior who didn't rise from the dead, who just teaches us how to live a good life, how to love our neighbor, how to help the underprivileged. And these are good things that we should know, how to help our neighbor, but helping our neighbor is not going to save our souls from hell. We need a Savior. We need the blood of the Lamb. We need a Savior who died and rose again. And here are dumb dogs that cannot bark. Men who claim to be God's servants but do not teach his word. People who have the word of God but they don't know how to preach. They can tell good stories, but they cannot explain the word of God. And that's what the prophet says. It's an absurdity. Here are dogs that should bark, but they're dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Here are ministers that don't preach. And that is why the people are ignorant. That is why there is a lack of knowledge. The people are deluded. They are deceived. Oh, they want knowledge. They're very curious. They'll pull out their smartphones and learn about anything in the world. But they have no time to learn about Christ. They'll go to their peers and get counsel. They'll go to philosophers. They're like the people who are going to stocks. Verse 12. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. The staff would be a pole or a stick for divination. And the stocks are wooden idols. Idols that were made from a stock of wood. And they would go to these dumb idols, mute idols that cannot speak. Mouths have they, but they do not speak. And they would go to these to learn, what should I do? What advice can you give? So it is today. These people, most of society, they have rejected God's truth. They want some knowledge. They want to know what to do. So they'll believe a lie instead. And who will they follow? They'll follow the glamorous media. It's very attractive. Now, these are nice-looking people that say nice things, and they win the crowds. Or they'll follow the opinion of the elites, or the view of the celebrities, or they'll follow the principles of the pleasure seekers, those who just care about having a good time, and they will follow their fashions and follow their practice. Or they will follow the distorted vision of politicians, so-called religious leaders. Or they will follow the example of other countries. And society today will say, well, Holland has legalized it many years ago. Canada has legalized euthanasia. Well, these good people in these lands, they're very civilized. They wouldn't do something that is cruel, and therefore it must be all right. It must be a legitimate thing. We can understand why they have done it. We don't want people to suffer. We have compassion too, and we should be like these other nations. We should be very civilized and have a law that allows assisted suicide. We don't want people to suffer. Well, we do not want people to go to hell. And that's why we're here in the pulpit. You can give many reasons why a man would want to preach the gospel, but at the top is the fear of hell. And that is where this nation is going as a majority, with God's displeasure over it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And the problem is a heart problem. People do not like the truth. They have antipathy for the knowledge of God. Oh, don't be telling us about that. Oh, that's old. Well, why not listen to it for a moment? You listen to other things. Oh, because they hate the truth. There is enmity in the heart against it. The more the neighbors know you, perhaps, the more they want to avoid you. Especially those who have positions where it is their duty to live a life of communicating the truth. Not everyone will avoid you, but many will. So here are a people who historically are God's people, and they knew God, but they did not like to retain the knowledge of God. They didn't like it. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 says this, and therefore God gave them up to a darkened understanding. They did not want God in their knowledge, and they will have no knowledge now that is worthy of the name, but they are given over to a reprobate mind, a seared conscience, to do those things that previously they wouldn't dream of doing. And that is how it has been in the church. when people have the truth and they go to hear it, but they didn't love it, they didn't embrace it within their hearts, and therefore God rejects them in the way of sending them a strong delusion. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11 that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So people in the church, in the wider church, they gather to themselves teachers who will teach or give interpretations of Scripture that allow for them to live a loose life. They will have a veneer of morality and attachment to the truth, but holding on to their darling sins, and have the security of eternal life at the same time. That's the religion the world likes, that will tolerate their wicked lives and give them security for eternity at the same time. I'll still go to heaven. I know I can't bring my sins to heaven, but I can sin enough on earth and then be made holy before I go to heaven. That's the religion that is very popular. A religion that allows for you to live the life you wait, the way you think and according to your faith, but don't tell anybody else what God requires. That's a popular religion. And it goes back to the absence of the fear of God, because they put from them the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of God is wearing out in their experience. And the Bible says, Psalm 36, verse 1, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. No fear of God before his eyes. Because he turns away from that. What he wants to focus on is what makes him happy and what gives him pleasure and what builds up his self-esteem, what will keep him from getting fear, a fearful conscience and a troubled conscience. There's no fear of God before their eyes. They're not setting God before them. They put God out of their lives. No fear of God before their eyes. They turn on the television. They go to work. They spend time with their friends, and they don't have any time for the Lord. And can it be any wonder then that society has come to where it is now? Because they have put the truth out of their mind. They don't want the commandments. And their hearts are saying this to God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Whatever ideas of morality that they do retain, they pervert to a wrong end. They have some impressions of equality and fairness and compassion, and don't hurt anybody, but they pervert the application of it, and they apply these principles with gross inconsistency, and they cover their wicked deeds with the gloss of compassion. And it's attributable to lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge when they're turning from the truth as it is in the Word of God, and if they would think about what their consciences are telling them. It's this assisted suicide or taking one's life, it goes against the natural sense of self-preservation. It's a very unnatural sin. Yes, people do sin. There are many unnatural sins, and people do it. And suicide is an unnatural sin, which makes it worse. And people are more guilty before God for it. And also it invades the prerogative of God. God gives life, God withholds life. And as Fisher says, suicide is a presumptuous rushing upon death and an awful eternity. The Scriptures require us to wait God's appointed time. God gives life, he takes life away. Job says, if a man die, shall he live again? If you take away someone's life, you have no power to restore life. God does. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Job 14:14, the great change will come for all of us, and we must wait God's appointed time. But we don't like to see people suffer. No one likes to suffer. But God says, Christ says, in the world ye shall go through much tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The Christian life does involve suffering. It's to be expected. But we should look to the comforts of the gospel. God has upheld with unspeakable joy many sufferers who were firmly attached to Christ. So, for lack of knowledge, the people are going away from God and bringing themselves under God's displeasure. And they, whatever principles they have, they apply them with gross inconsistency. And what they are doing is calling evil good and good evil, which God, through the prophet Isaiah, warns the people against. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness. They have their own ways of thinking, and they put that in the place of the knowledge of God. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. People in rest homes celebrating because now they can take their lives away. As if this was something to be joyful about, a sweet thing that has come into their experience. This is bitter. This is dark. The clouds of ignorance are filling the homes and the rest homes of this land. I'll never forget the first time an elderly woman said to me, I was carrying my Bible in the rest home, and she said, do you have any poison? She was an angry woman. Possibly out of her mind as well, but still. Well, now they can give the poison. They can get it. A sad day for New Zealand when bitter is put for sweet. And so people have traded knowledge for absurdity. And they're perverting the truth and what is right. They're saying that to give the death penalty to a man that killed 50 people in Christchurch, to give him the death penalty, that would be evil. And doing all we can to keep him alive, oh, that is good. Doing all we can to keep the elderly and sick alive, well, that is evil. And putting to death the terminally ill is good. That's perverse. How sick is society? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. And they say, and here it is again, that to use the death penalty, one state in the U.S., I can't remember what it was, which state, but the headlines were, this state has played God again because it had administered the death penalty. That is only to obey God. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. God has instituted the death penalty, capital punishment. But then to put someone to death who has committed no crime, to administer the lethal dose, that's murder. And that is truly to take the place of God. Oh, friend, society, the mass of it, is greatly perverted in its thinking, daring to take God off the throne. And it goes to lack of knowledge, partly from lack of knowledge. Yes, they are sinning against knowledge, but again, this is a practical following of knowledge that is being spoken of. It's a wearing out of knowledge. They are tired of it. They don't want it. It's old, and they want to discard it. The scriptures were in front of them. The Bible was on the coffee table. But what happened? The parents didn't read it. Or they read just the promises. Nothing about the Ten Commandments. The placard on the wall with the Ten Commandments, that was taken down. When the grandparents died, it was thrown into the garbage. And people don't know what the Ten Commandments are, and they do not care what they are. And the result is lack of knowledge and the feeling of liberty because they don't have the knowledge of God. Well, there's a great famine in the land. We already are suffering famine, a famine of the Word of God. And who knows, if that goes on, there may be a literal famine, a drought. In this land of plenty, God can easily withhold the rains and the fruitfulness of the ground. God is able. Oh, let us pray that God would heal the land spiritually, that God's people and this nation might be truly blessed. You see, the knowledge of God shows us, friends, the truth, and we have to put the truth in front of our eyes. We need the fear of God before our eyes. And the Word of God tells us plainly of the sanctity of human life. And man's life is sacred because man bears the image of God. That is why euthanasia is wrong. It's not just a slippery slope argument. It's not just there is coercion or the possibility of bad relatives pressuring their parents to take their lives. Not just those things, but it is wrong because it is against the sixth commandment, and it is a strike at the very being of God. An assault on the life of man is a virtual assault upon the life of God, because man was created after the image of God. As Professor John Murray puts it, it is the lack of regard for the sanctity of human life that makes people forget God's law when it comes to capital punishment. And for us today, it is a lack of regard for the sanctity of human life that causes people to promote euthanasia. They have no knowledge, or they're willfully rejecting the knowledge in regard to the sanctity of human life. Again, who is responsible for that? Many ministers have failed. They have utterly failed and will be held accountable before the Most High for that immense failure to preach and emphasize and stress the sanctity of human life. And lawmakers too. Leaders in government have shirked their responsibility. They should have made a law that protected the sanctity of human life. Instead, they have deferred to the will of the people, and that will be no excuse for them. They can't say on the judgment day, "Oh, but I left it to the people to decide." There was a Roman procurator named Pilate who did just that. He let the people decide whether Jesus should be crucified or not, and he is accountable for eternity. He said, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. That did not wash away his sins." Only the blood of Christ will wash away our sins. No washing our hands in water will do that. Pilate could have prevented the crucifixion on the human level. He had that leadership role. And so do our leaders in our land. They have the leadership role of protecting the vulnerable and preventing the will of the people from being put into practice. Ministers have failed. Political leaders have failed. Oh, that we would pray for grace, that we would not fail, but that we would embrace the truth, lest we perish in our sins. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In the third place, the destruction. Because of the sin of the people, which resulted from lack of knowledge and a lack of a practical regard for the knowledge of God, they were being destroyed. And already some were suffering. The people of Israel were chastised in history for their departures from God. And even in recent times, there were revolts. There were civil wars in the time of Israel, and one king would be deposed or assassinated, and another king would usurp the kingdom. And Hosea would have witnessed these things or heard about these things. The people were being destroyed for lack of knowledge. They were rejecting the truth, and the result was ruin, societal chaos, upheaval, anarchy. The word is for destroyed, cut off, you'll see in the margin. The people were cutting themselves off from knowledge, and God was cutting them off from himself. God is casting them away. God is threatening to abandon them. Yes, to give them up. This society is already being cut off. Cut off in the sense that God is giving society up to a darkened view of things, perverted view, to lead them to their own devices, to commit grosser sin, sins that they would be appalled at before. Think of it. Just before birth, a little baby can be aborted and killed, or killed in the womb. It's outright murder. And let none of us be numb to these things. Pray that our souls will be affected in public and in secret by the blood that is flowing in this land. For lack of knowledge, people are going astray and cutting themselves off. Lack of knowledge. When people are not having the fear of God before them, the result is they go astray into gross sin. Isn't that partly the reason why people are indeed committing suicide, young people and older ones? Because they're not being taught, it's not being emphasized before them that to take their life away is to usher themselves into the presence of the judge of all the earth. They are sending themselves into a lost eternity. They're sending themselves into the blackness of darkness forever unless they repent from the fatal wound. They are cutting themselves off from hope for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The people were following the priests in ignorance, these self-appointed priests who have intruded themselves upon the priesthood. God never called them, but God is still telling them, I have rejected you from being my priest. You claim to be my priest. You claim that. But I am rejecting you, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Why? Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thee. They were, again, teachers that did not teach, priests that did not instruct. They said that they taught the people the will of God, but they misled the people and led them away from God. Again, two ministers claimed to be distressed when they heard that the sanctity of human life was being invoked to argue against euthanasia. And all I was doing was declaring God's unchanging word on the matter. Man's life is inviolable because man was created after the image of God. Here are men in colors, men who are esteemed, but with respect to the office, the word of God calls them dumb dogs that cannot bark. They are misguiding the people, and no wonder the people are led astray. Not everyone we know, definitely not, but the masses are being led astray. Even those who would not like a law put in place, they still have this allowance in their minds that in some cases it would be all right for a person to take their life away. But that is lack of knowledge. It's drifting away from the clear word of God, and it's to cut ourselves off. If we're not following the word of God, there's no light in us. And God is saying he will reject such teachers because they forgot my law. my law. It's not a memory thing. It's a practical forgetting. They know what's in the Bible. They have read theology books. They have read history books on church history. They know what the church has stood for ages. But they have forgot my law. And they're following society. And they will suffer in eternal flames without repentance. So will all ministers who are prophesying smooth things and are not preaching the law and what God requires, and they tell people there's no hell, that's outdated. Oh no, the Word of God is never outdated. And so ministers who preach a false gospel and say that you'll probably still go to heaven even though you're not born again, and everyone will end up in heaven, well, they are murderers of souls and will suffer severely. Their hell will be worse than their hearers' hell because they have led their hearers to hell. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And that is why society is drifting further and further. Because of the lack of teaching and the lack of good examples, they're drifting further from the truth. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They are drifting from the knowledge of God and going closer and closer to destruction. And so it is, like minister, like magistrate, God has said to the civil magistrate, ye are gods, you are representing God's judicial and sovereign authority, but ye shall die like men. Oh, how the civil magistrate, every person who has not done what they could to prevent this law being passed, every member of parliament who did not stand on the side of thou shalt not kill, how should they tremble? How should they tremble before God? They will die like men. Though they had this high place of authority, they abused it. They shirked responsibility. And God will punish them to all eternity unless they repent. Well, friends, that's the way it is. We are concerned for the souls of men and women. But the national leaders have proved that they have no concern for souls, no concern for God's word. And oh, we say this with respect, the prime minister, the national leader, and all New Zealand leaders that support euthanasia, they are heaping wrath upon themselves. And New Zealanders who willfully reject the knowledge of God, thou shalt not kill, are heaping wrath upon themselves. This nation, as a nation, is ripening for judgment. What else can we say? It is rejecting the knowledge of God, and therefore it's being cut off from God. We are cutting ourselves off from God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And it's partly judicial blindness, willful rebellion, and the manifestation of the enmity of the heart, not liking to retain the knowledge of God in their souls. And if this continues, God makes it clear in his word, he is shaking heaven and earth. The nations are being shaken so that that which cannot be shaken will remain. The truth will remain. The truth will come out. The truth will be manifest. But the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee, God says, shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. We believe the emphasis is upon the political sphere of the nation. A shaking of the nations, a shaking of the government, a shaking of those who refused to rule in the as representatives of God's authority, but were weak leaders. Do not rule for God and for the people, and the ministers and the churches and all powers that do not uphold the truth, they can all expect to crumble before God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I will also reject, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. And this is a very sad thing, thy children. Perhaps in the first instance, it is speaking of the children of the priests, The priest's children would not be able to follow the footsteps of their fathers and hold office in the ecclesiastical body. They would not be able to be priests. But I believe it's referring to the children, the rising generation. And what a sad day it is for the young people of our day who are going to grow up now seeing a law that sanctions the killing of the vulnerable, both infancy and old age. It's warping the minds of people, legitimizing what God abhors, and following these ways. Oh, how this nation and this generation is under God's displeasure, and how we should pray for this generation, and how we should mourn over these sins. We are too prone to become numb to the sins around us. How we should be like David, who said, "Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law." And let us examine ourselves, that we would have no sympathy with the principles of this world. We are human, and we may be caught off guard and allow society to affect us more than we realize. And that is why we should confess the sins of the nation, that we would be separating from the national guilt, and that we would be cleaving to the Lord. We would not be ignorant, and pray that this country would not be ignorant, because ignorance, when it comes to salvation, is not bliss, but damnation. And the law shows us our sins, and we need to know the law. And our sins show us our need of Christ, and how we need to learn the truth, and how we need to instruct the children in the truth. Oh, friends, pray for the knowledge of God, that we would learn about sin, the most dreadful evil, that we would see that what the law requires, it shows us our sins, but also we would have the gospel, the whole gospel preached to us, opened up to us, the free offer presented to us, the promise of the Spirit held out to us, and let us pray for the Spirit that we would have light. O Lord, open my eyes that I would understand thy word. Lord, show me myself that I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all. Lord, show me thyself, thou art the precious Savior, that thou didst die on the cross for sinners. Thou didst turn away the wrath of God for sinners who believe in Jesus. Oh, Lord, cause me to know him, that I would be saved from my sins. And let us bind the truth about our neck, that our very loins will be girt about with truth, that we would have the fear of God before our eyes. Meditating on the word of God, we will not be, our vision will not be distorted by the gloss of the media and the society's majority, that we would be praying for the hastening of God's kingdom, when all the kingdoms of this world, including New Zealand, will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Oh, what a day that will be. They will not pervert the truth any longer. What a glorious time that will be. Why will it be glorious? Because it is then that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Thy kingdom come, let that be our prayer. Let us be praying that ministers will be raised up to preach the word. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How many citizens of this land don't know about Christ, and other lands especially? Let's pray that ministers will be sent forth to proclaim the law and gospel. And pray for the civil magistrate, that God would put in place leaders who do lead, who represent him and rule for him. Christ says, "By me, kings reign and princes decree justice." Let us pray that justice would pour down from the skies and flow down the mountains, that this land would be filled with justice, with right, with compassion, with love. Pray that we would know the truth, that we might learn more and more that we would praise God more and more, pray for spiritual knowledge, that we would live according to that light, and the more blessed we will be. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. May he bless his word. Let us pray. Gracious God, may it please thee to make thy truth known to us in a saving way, that each of us would know that liberty wherewith Christ makes us free, that we would see thy law as the perfect law of liberty. Oh, that we would follow the right ways of the Lord, and that we would confess our own sin, to say that we have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it has not profited us, and our life shall see the light. Thou wilt deal with us graciously through the ransom which thou hast appointed, the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, bless thy truth, have mercy on this land, and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children to the fathers, and raise up magistrates who will fear thee and rule for thee, and ministers who will preach for thee, and that there will be hearers who follow what is heard in holding up the word of life. Hear us, we pray. Bless thy word and pardon all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen.